This is the Apple Music description of Master of Reality by Black Sabbath. All 8 of the original Black Sabbath albums feature Ozzy Osbourne as singer. Let me start again, sorry. All 8 of the original Black Sabbath albums featuring Ozzy Osbourne as singer have something special about them. It's no coincidence, though, that the hardest core fans center on the earliest ones, and many who find Paranoid too familiar or obvious prefer either the self-titled first album or Sabbath's third studio album, Master of Reality. In retrospect, this album is said to have inspired every stoner rock band worth talking about. On a few key songs, Children of the Grave, Lord of This World, and Into the Void, guitarist Tony Iommi down-tuned his guitar by several tones to achieve a heavier sound, a practice now extremely common among guitarists in extreme metal subgenres. Sweet Leaf, starting with the sound of Iommi coughing, is a paean to marijuana. After Forever issues a pro-God message from group lyricist Butler, who was tired of defending Sabbath from Satanist charges. Children of the Grave is anti-war. Most surprising is the heartfelt ballad Solitude, which includes Iommi on flute, piano, and finger-picked guitar under a medieval-influenced melody line. So that's Apple Music on Master of Reality. I just listened to this album from start to finish for the first time. I knew probably 2 songs on it. I knew Sweet Leaf very well. I'd heard it many times. I'll get to that in a minute. And then Children of the Grave sounded very familiar when I heard it, so I think I had heard that one. But everything else was new to me. Into the Void was my favorite. The biggest surprise was Solitude. It's a very chill song. And I apologize for the wind. It's very windy today. And, okay, so the reason that I was kind of getting into Black Sabbath a little bit was the podcast, The Perfume Nationalists. They issued their Black Sabbath episode. So I had no idea that he was so into Black Sabbath. I can't think of his fucking name now. Jack. I had no idea that Jack was so into Black Sabbath. How was I to know? And apparently Sabotage is his favorite, but he and a fellow Black Sabbath fan talked about their albums, went through all of them, pretty much. And the focus is always on the first 4 albums. Apparently the first 6 are, like, really strong, really good. Anyway, Master of Reality, I think, is the only one I've heard from start to finish. Maybe I did listen to another one at one point. Maybe, like, the first one, the self-titled one. I knew Sweet Leaf very well because when I was younger, I'm a drummer, and I was playing music with some friends from school, and they were metalheads, and they were very much into Black Sabbath and into this song Sweet Leaf, and we played it. I just smoked a bowl a few minutes ago, and I don't know, I was just thinking about Sweet Leaf and thinking about Black Sabbath, and I was like, you know what, fuck it, I think it's time for me to hear Master of Reality. So I just put it on and just listened to it from start to finish. It's great. I love the jammier parts of it. I love when they jam. I love Ozzy, and I love his voice. It's so weird. And it was interesting to hear his origin story. I guess he was like a weird British kid who worked at a slaughterhouse, and then he ended up kind of creating heavy metal in a way, or helping to create it, maybe kind of accidentally. I don't know. I just think it's a really cool story. I think Tony Iommi is the... It is Tony Iommi, right? Tony Iommi. He's the most talented member of the crew, musically speaking. I think he's like a kind of a great guitarist, really kind of cool and interesting. And I think Ozzy's kind of great. I wouldn't say he's like a great lyricist, but he definitely wrote some cool lyrics, and he's an interesting vocalist. I like the drummer. I don't know his name. I'm not a Black Sabbath person. I don't know their catalog well at all, but I don't know, that podcast just got me thinking about them and got me kind of interested in listening to the catalog, particularly Master of Reality. I wanted to start there, I guess, kind of like mostly because of the title. I just think it's like a really cool title for an album, especially a metal album. Master of Reality by Black Sabbath. So that's all I have to say about it. I kind of spoiled it on Instagram. If you follow Less Than Zed, LessThanZed, all one word, all lowercase, I posted it into the void on there, so you probably, if you follow that account and you saw that on my story, then you know that I'm talking about Black Sabbath today on this episode. I'm going to do another little spoiler as well, but actually it's not a spoiler, it's a hint. Tonight, what am I watching? What am I going to be talking about? What am I going to be reviewing? Well, they're movies, at least one of them that I've talked about previously. They're two movies that I've started previously that I'm going to finish tonight, and they're both Ari Aster recommendations, and that's all that I will say about that. See you in hell. Last night I watched a movie called Mansion of the Living Dead, and it is directed by Jess Franco, and I streamed it on Arrow. It is what Paul Schrader might call a big tit movie. I would call it a big titty movie. The four leads all have big tits. They're all beautiful women. It starts out in that kind of great way that Cabin Fever kind of borrowed, and the way that a lot of slasher movies and horror movies in general, I would say, start out, where you have these four excited teenage girls or college age girls, and they show up at this, it's a resort, I would say, more than a mansion, by the ocean, and the place seems to be deserted. It's a kind of ghost town. And there are some genuinely eerie, creepy moments in this movie. And these four girls all seem to just want to get laid. They keep talking about, they keep saying, you know, where are all the boys? Like, how am I supposed to pick up guys when there's no one here? Things like this. And then some weird shit starts to happen. There's kind of a fucked up scene. It's essentially a gang rape scene where one of these four girls is gang raped and then killed with this long sword by these kind of like demon ghoul characters. They have these sort of weird skeletal kind of masks on, or that's how it looks in terms of like how it was done. I think they're just supposed to be these like, I don't know, almost these like Grim Reaper types. So I'll read to you from the Arrow streaming app. This is the description of Mansion of the Living Dead, 1 hour, 32 minutes, 1985, Spain, directed by Jess Franco. And yes, it is in Spanish. One of the more infamous works of his Golden Films Internacional period, writer-director Jess Franco's depraved subversion of raunchy comedy, erotic thriller, and heretical horror has never popped off the screen like this. When four topless cocktail waitresses, led by Lena Romay, a.k.a. Candy Coster, at her most luscious, arrive at a deserted resort, there you go, they'll unlock a perverse netherworld of lesbianism, sadism, and unholy violation by a zombie religious sect inspired by De Osorio's Blind Dead series. Yeah, they kind of look like that a little bit. I also forgot to mention there's this really weird sort of subplot where this woman is chained up. She's on this bed and she's got this metal collar around her neck and it's chained to the wall. So she's trapped in one of the rooms at this resort. And it turns out that the resort manager, the only other person there, the only person that's running this resort, is the one who has her chained up. And he won't feed her. He's torturing her. He's bringing her meals and like setting them down near her, and she's not able to eat them. So then one of these girls gets into the room and helps her, and yeah. Some crazy shit goes down, I think. I'm trying to remember how that scene plays out. I think the guy shows up, and I forget exactly what happens. I do remember the lesbian scenes, though, for sure. There's plenty of lesbian action in this movie, if that's what you're into. This, I would say, qualifies as softcore pornography. Not all of it, but at times. It's sort of like, you know, of course, in this kind of movie, the four leads are all lesbians and they're all hooking up with each other. But then, I don't know, kind of makes sense. I mean, they're actually bi, I would say, because they're always talking about how they want to pick up guys. But then they hook up with each other, I guess, you know, partly because no one's there. You find out that they're, I guess, dancers, they're strippers. So I guess they're not college students, which, I'm not going to say that that explains the lesbianism, because that would be, degrading to say, or demeaning. But, I don't know. If you just look at this movie in a shallow way, just kind of on a surface level, you just start it and you don't really get into it, then you might not see that there are deeper levels to it. And I think that's true of a lot of Jess Franco's work. I think he's a real, legitimate filmmaker. As I said, there are some legitimately creepy moments in this. I like the way it's shot. I like the location work in this. I'm not going to say it's a great script. It's an okay script. It's decent. But I think, as is the case with a lot of Jess Franco movies, it's really about the visuals, the visual style that he brings to it. So that's Mansion of the Living Dead. And this is Video Nasties. Peace.
Last night I watched Pickpocket by Robert Bresson. Because, let me back up a little bit here. So, Paul Schrader has been doing the rounds. He and Ari Aster both have new movies out. So Ari Aster has Bo is Afraid, real title, Disappointment Boulevard, as far as I'm concerned, that's the real title. And then Paul Schrader has Master Gardener out now, which is apparently about a white supremacist who becomes a gardener. So, they've both been, as I said, doing the press rounds, and last night I listened to both the A24 podcast with Ari Aster and Joaquin Phoenix, and the WTF with Marc Maron episode with Mr. Schrader. And they did get to talking about Taxi Driver a little bit, which I was very excited about, and Paul Schrader, and I know he's been saying this for years and years, but he was talking about Pickpocket, and he said that Pickpocket was kind of the inspiration or the main filmic or cinematic inspiration for Taxi Driver, and he said it's the same movie. They're the same movie. So I decided to watch Pickpocket last night, and I had already started it at one point, turned it off for whatever reason, but I watched the whole rest of the movie last night. Interesting movie. I wasn't particularly struck or stirred by it. I was a little bored by it. I thought some of the dialogue was pretty good, kind of interesting. And I liked the girl in it. I kind of liked the way some of it was shot. I don't know. I think maybe it's just like a little dated, or maybe I just could never really get into it. But it was interesting to see kind of like the life of a pickpocket. And of course, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm trying to think, what does this have to do with Taxi Driver? Like, how is this? They don't even seem similar or related. Like, what does he mean they're the same movie? But then if you kind of look at it on a deeper level, the guy, the main guy, the pickpocket, he's sort of the Travis Bickle character, the Taxi Driver. And he is kind of alone in his apartment a lot, and he's kind of training to be a pickpocket so that he's ready to steal from people. I don't know. It was interesting to see the different kind of like techniques that pickpockets use. And I do like the kind of vibe, the kind of like proto French New Wave vibe of the movie. And just kind of the way it's done. There's at one point this guy just kind of like appears and just he kind of brings the main character into this cafe, and he shows him all of these tricks, these pickpocket tricks. And the main character just kind of drifts into the cafe following this guy. And it's this kind of, I don't know, there's a certain quality to the movie that's, it's maybe almost dreamlike, but I wouldn't even go so far as to call it dreamlike, because it's everything is tied to reality. But it's just, there's this kind of like, I don't know, not wistful, but there's a certain quality to it. I can't really describe it. It's sort of, I guess the only way I can describe it is like a French New Wave quality to it. It's almost like an airy quality or something, but like in a good way. Anyway, that's Pickpocket by Robert Bresson, and this is Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. Peace. Okay, so I fucked up a little bit on that segment. What was I gonna say? Oh, yeah, so I bought some, like, pretty strong weed yesterday. It's called Purple Pinner, and it's amazing. I love it. I was smoking it last night, and then I slept like a log, and now I'm recording first thing in the morning. I just woke up. This is the first thing I'm doing, besides pouring myself a cup of coffee. So I apologize for the sound quality on the last segment, because I have this issue with my headphones that I've talked about many times. And I'm just glad it recorded, for fuck's sake. But I prefer the quality when I'm not recording into the headphones. So just wanted to clear that up. If it sounded weird, just that last, those last few minutes, that's why. I was recording into a set of headphones. I'm Maxwell Haddad. Paul Schrader's last three movies form a kind of loose trilogy. So you have First Reformed, about an alcoholic priest, and then you have The Card Counter, which is sort of the one that I'm most interested in, starring Oscar Isaac. I guess I started this movie, but I didn't get very far into it. I've seen First Reformed, though. Master Gardener, I don't know how I'm going to see, but I will see it at some point. Hopefully it comes to HBO Max, like The Card Counter. Maybe Paul Schrader has a relationship with HBO, I'm not sure. So, The Card Counter is about an ex-torturer who becomes a dealer in Vegas, I guess, poker dealer. And then this one, as I said, Master Gardener, is about a white supremacist who becomes a gardener. Or a white nationalist, I don't know. But, no, I think he's like an actual white supremacist, played by Joel Edgerton. And the movie is written and directed by Paul Schrader. So, that's that. That's the Schrader trilogy of recent years. And it's kind of cool that he made The Card Counter and Master Gardener back-to-back. I mean, this is 2022, 2023, two movies back-to-back, and then First Reformed was a few years ago, 2018. So, I watched Pickpocket, I finished Pickpocket. I was trying to figure out who the guy was, because he kind of has, like, his main guy, who's, like, his kind of, like, partner in crime, literally. And I was trying to figure out what character that is in Taxi Driver. Maybe the Albert Brooks character? I'm not sure. It's been years since I actually watched Taxi Driver. I think I've only seen it once from start to finish. It's one of those movies that I just had that one experience with, and I can just kind of hold on to that forever. But I also want to watch it again and study it. So, that's Taxi Driver, that's Pickpocket, that's Paul Schrader's trilogy. And then the last thing I want to talk about was, okay, so I finished Pickpocket, and I said, you know what, I need something fun. And I put on Hand of Death by John Woo. And it was fun. It was a blast. I don't know. It always kind of strikes me how, like, John Woo hadn't developed the John Woo style yet. But there is still this kind of, like, I don't know, this epicness, this seriousness to the movie, and it just feels cinematic. It's almost like John Woo can't help but be cinematic. Thank you for listening. My name is Maxwell Haddad, and this is Video Nasties. Talk to you again soon. Peace.
This has been a production of Reptilian.